I hate Corona.
Don't even joke about that. My Italy trip is right now on the rocks.
It is definitely on the rocks.
Yeah, since I canceled the flight.
Wise.
All right, everybody ready? Good? Okay, I'll call the meeting to order. This is a special meeting of the Canton Inland Wetlands and Watercourses Agency. Today is Monday, March 2nd, 2020. It is 7:06 p.m. Let's see. Our members president, President Mr. Henry is here. Mr. Pori is here. I am here. And Mr. Bear is here. So that leaves Mr. Sinish. And Mr. Rosenfeld. Bill, you're the alternate, right?
Yes.
All right, so I'll see you as a regular member for tonight's meeting. Public comment not related to an agenda item, seeing as there's nobody here. It's unlikely that anyone wants to talk to us about something not on the agenda. Public hearing, item number one, file 02-20-1148. 61 Maple Avenue and 10 Atwater Road, Assessor's Map 35, parcels 3620061 and 1130010, zones L, I, T, N, O, and R1, show cause hearing for cease and correct of all regulated activities on site. No, Knowles, No Brainers, LLC, and Willard and Ann Herman, owners. So, this is a public hearing for an alleged violation of activities that allegedly violate the wetlands regulations of the town. And Emily, do you want to? You're the one who filed the notice.
I did.
What's the story? Why? What's the alleged violation?
All right. Well, you'll see a bunch of emails in front of you. Basically, what happened was Thursday, February 20th, the building official emailed me at night and let me know that the property owner of 61 Maple Avenue, who is Mike Chadwick, the owner of Noel's No Brainers LLC, was pushing material from who knows where onto 10 Atwater Road with a mini excavator, albeit right into the wetlands. And so he let me know about that violation that was occurring, and I inspected the following day. My first round of photos are in my staff memorandum, which you guys also have.
Let me just ask you a couple questions as we go. Did we identify, you said Knowles No Brainers, LLC, is the owner of 61 Atwater.
61 Maple.
Maple, sorry.
Yep, exactly. And that the person that was conducting the activity was the owner of that LLC.
So, okay, that's the important part.
It's a line.
The 61 Maple and Atwater, the other property here.
Two separate property owners.
The second one is Willard and Ann Herman owners. That's 10 Atwater?
Yes, exactly.
So what we have here is an allegation that somebody who owns one parcel moved material on, violated the wetlands regulations by depositing material on someone else's property?
The violation is not because of whose property it is. The way our regulations are written is when I issue enforcement to the property owner where the violation occurred. In this unique instance, we knew who was doing the activity because of another staff member, which is also proven by his emails from Mike Chadwick admitting the activity, which you have that thread at the very end of your stack. So in this unique situation, the season correct went to both properties.
Okay.
I did, after sending the letter, they both got them within a couple days. I talked to Willard Herman, who is the owner of 10 Atwater. 10 Atwater is a vacant parcel, and it has a lot of wetlands on it, like you can see from the map in my memo. And the property owner was planning on coming tonight, but maybe something came up. But he had concerns because he had no knowledge, or he never granted the rights for the owner of 61 Maple to deposit that material onto his property. So he was concerned that he would get the brunt end of the enforcement because he had no he did not know that was going on and certainly didn't approve of it either.
Did he indicate that he didn't give permission for the owner or the principal of the LLC who owns 61 Maple? Or did he indicate that he didn't give permission for anyone to deposit material?
Anyone.
Okay, you understand that?
Yeah, I understand the difference, okay. Yeah. He did not have any understanding of any activity happening at that property, period. So that was all news to him.
Okay.
That being said, he was very understanding and wanted to work with us, but who knows. And then when Mr. Chadwick received his letter, he emailed, and it actually, so the very last document you have, which is a chain between myself and Mr. Chadwick, if you flip it up, like, backwards all the way, that's where the thread starts, and as you come to the front, it's the newest, and he did want the newest email, which is right on top, to be read into the record as his testimony in his absence tonight, because he says he's out of state tonight and couldn't come to the meeting.
Of course, I read it all backwards.
You read it all backwards, that's okay. That's, I should have stapled it the other way, but that's just how it prints. So...
But I understood.
The most important message is the one on top, but if you do want to see the thread, it starts at the back. The relevance to the back is that he admits doing it, so that's important, too.
Okay.
I can say that since the letters have gone out, the excavator's gone, so... Luckily, I got a picture of it before I was gone.
Okay. Well, I guess in the sense that if there was to be a continuing violation, the exact same kind of violation is not likely to reoccur if the excavator's gone.
Not at present day.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you sent both of these participants or parties cease and correct orders, right?
I did.
Okay. So you and I talked about this. Just sort of telling me the story. And one of the things that I think is kind of, is really interesting about this is that the alleged violator, whether Mr. Chadwick did anything wrong or not, we're not determined yet. However, the alleged violator doesn't have permission to correct the offending action. The alleged victim, parcel owner, doesn't have any obligation to give permission for a trespasser to trespass again on his property. It's a really interesting problem. And I'm completely nerding out on the legal intricacies of this because it's kind of fun. I guess there's good news that we don't have, the excavator's not still on site, and two new things have happened since the notice of violation went out. So that's a good sign. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, it does seem as though we need some people here, don't we?
I'm not sure how you can correct it.
Oh, I can see a couple of ways that are possible that came to my mind. The corrective action, we need to understand exactly what happened, what was deposited where, whether it's exactly the kind of thing that we wouldn't have cared less about in the first place, and it's sort of a technical violation. On the other hand, maybe it's the kind of thing that somebody needs to go and get that out of there. Then it's really just a question of who the property owner wishes to do the work and who's going to be financially responsible for the paying for said corrective actions. As it always is, it's always a question of who's paying for it. Usually the property owner is the obvious candidate because they're usually the one who did it.
So I just went to Google Earth.
Mm-hmm.
How does Google Earth know we were talking about 61 Maple? Because I put in 61 and 61 Maple Ave, bam, pops right up.
It's the black helicopters. It's the black choppers.
Really?
Absolutely. You didn't put on your tinfoil hat?
Come on.
They've been reading your thoughts through your molars since lunch, Mr. Bear. I hate to tell you.
Not breakfast.
What is the picture that's loose.
That second one I took a couple days later, and I believe that brush came in.
This doesn't help us, though.
Another time.
Okay, so
this over is, the weekend.
But this is on the 61 Maple.
That's both on 10 Atwater.
Oh, this is on 10 Atwater.
Is this the reference to the metal cable being about 15 feet further down on the?
The reason I took that other angle is because the first angle where all my staff memo pictures are focused on is straight in where he went over the road and pushed back, as you can see the track marks. That loose picture I took on Friday shows an actual, it's like it's still a leafy shrub.
Yeah.
And I don't know where that came from because it's,
you know. Oh, so that is something that was thrown there.
That is my belief.
Okay.
And I did not see that during my first inspection, so I'm...
Was there tracks leading up? I can't really tell.
There are tracks that you can see in the memo.
Yeah, no, I saw that part, but I mean, on the one where you show the leafy stuff that's pushed further back...
There's no tracks
there. Okay, so that was something that predated it or postdated it.
Yes.
But it wasn't pushed with the excavator.
Our project administrator, Glenn, who also submitted an email for the record... He looked at it from the Maple Ave side, where I saw everything was from the Atwater side, because that's exactly where he was pushing.
Yep.
And made note of an area that's like 10 feet wide, 5 feet long, that's carved out of the town right-of-way. And his belief was it kind of looked like someone was prepping an area to park a truck or something like that, to have something parked. So it's kind of all, whoever's looking at it will have a different opinion, but... Clearly there.
Possibly not being able to back a truck out of his property onto that order to get turned.
Perhaps because it's a tight parking lot, yes.
Foolish idea.
Okay. What is the steel like? Is that just a sign or something?
Yeah, there's actually a huge highway sign that was approved there years and years and years ago, and it rotates from time to time, and it's
a billboard.
Just exists. Yeah, okay. It's a billboard sign.
All right. The lot's like entirely wetlands.
Yes.
Just like no buildable.
No, it's a difficult lot for sure.
Yeah, go down that area, you go down another lot or two, and you get into the old swimming pool. Just a couple of lots down there.
Mm-hmm.
It all ties in, yeah.
Yeah. Because I think actually what happens is, from the, what, isn't that the lower mill pond part across by the park, then it comes underneath.
Under the road?
Under the road, goes towards the swimming hole.
The main source of the water comes from Old Canton Road. Comes from...
Oh, gosh, that huge wetland system.
What's it called?
Yeah.
Name of that brook there that we approved the...
Rattlesnake?
Well, this is Rattlesnake.
We approved by Strictly Dirt, where it comes under the Route 44. That's the main source of water.
Yeah.
Right.
It's that giant wetland system that goes all the way from the old tennis courts behind the Taco Bell...
It all heads that way.
It all heads that way, which is why Old Canton Road is underwater some of the time. It's got also a very channeled brook through there to try to keep that from expanding out in all directions and keep the contents in the armored brook.
Right.
Yeah, it's been silted in a huge amount over the years. It would probably double the depth it is now.
Yeah, and I drove through... You know, you get your mail soaked in those mailboxes all the time over there. Every time it rains, every time you get a good rain, that's where it all comes. You know, those two spots. Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, the purpose of a enforcement hearing being required within 10 days is since the town's position is protected by the issuance of a notice of violation and a cease and desist, a cease and correct, some kind of enforcement language, depending on the situation. Right now, no work other than corrective measures can be done, and I think we've sort of got a check slash checkmate system in place here. The person who wants to have the work done isn't responsible necessarily for the violation, potentially. The person who doesn't think he violated is the one who's potentially responsible for whatever it is that happened over there. I don't think we have some sense as to what occurred, but this is primarily a conversation that should happen, I think, when the property parties are both parties, the property owner, the one whose property was trespassed upon, possibly, and the one who potentially was the trespassor, are here to explain why this violation should not stand. This is their opportunity to be heard, not our opportunity to to do anything else in particular. Our town's interests are protected, at least temporarily.
To be honest, the corrective measures are no responsibility of the property owner, but they are the duty of the violator at no reasonable expense for the property owner to incur to put it back to where it is no longer in violation. And it doesn't matter if he's present or not, it's what we determine what based on his information.
Well, it is
what the corrective measures are.
Yeah, it is important that the 10 Atwater property owner be present.
Yeah.
Because we don't have the authority to allow someone else to again trespass upon his property.
Correct.
That is authority we don't have. If he wished to come in here and say, you know what, I just want this whole thing to be done, I'll throw $500 at this problem as long as I can go ahead and get all this junk out of there, we'd probably say, that sounds like a fair corrective measure to us that closes the matter relative to your parcel. But he's not here in order to have that conversation. Emily and I did talk on Friday?
Yeah.
Yep, on Friday morning about the prospect of the principal from Knowles LLC not coming today, and the question was, was it worth having a meeting in the absence of that individual? And I anticipated it was worth it because the 10 Atwater property owner had indicated he and/or she was coming, and they are one, listed as a violator, and two, potentially an aggrieved party. So they seem to be kind of integral to the resolution of this situation. But since we don't have that person either, I think ultimately we'll get better compliance somewhere, probably from both parties. But this is their opportunity, their first opportunity to be heard. Does anybody think it's an intensely stupid idea to continue this public hearing on this matter to give them the chance to come to our next regularly scheduled meeting, at which time we can take action on it, because we would then have given them two opportunities to come and talk to us. One or the other or both of them can come, and then maybe we can make some progress on it. But at that point, I think the town's interest is protected. From a ongoing violation standpoint, we might in the next meeting be prepared to say, okay, nobody's coming. We've given them two chances. We're going to go ahead and do something about this. And maybe nobody likes the resolution at that point. But if they wanted to be part of the conversation, they should come to one of their two opportunities to speak to us about it, which is what this is supposed to be about. Does that sound reasonable to everybody?
I think that's fair.
Yeah, I don't know that we have much of a choice. We don't have enough information to really make any kind of a decision.
Well, we seem to have an admission.
You need the property owner to weigh in on it.
Yeah.
I'd like to have the property owner, the 10 Atwater property owner, involved in the conversation, because one possibility is he walks in, as I indicated, and says, this is too much drama, I'll just go ahead and fix it. Will you let me go ahead and do this and that to fix this problem? Well, then the wetlands violation is six.
Right.
Do we as a town have any responsibility to say Well, we did. There's a wetlands violation, but here's what needs to be fixed. It seems to me, I guess what I'm misunderstanding at this point, I think it's fine that we wait and have both parties come together. But what I'm processing in my mind right now is they're going to decide what needs to be done. Aren't we supposed to say this is what needs to be fixed?
No, they don't get to decide what needs to be done. One party is the owner of the land who might say, I'm not letting my neighbor, who's the, you know, seems to admit having done this, so we'll consider him to be
the one repairing it.
Right. I don't want him coming over to repair it.
Mm-hmm. He's responsible for it.
But what needs to be repaired?
It appears as though brush was dumped from one parcel across the street into the other, including moving some earth with the blade of an excavator,
mm-hmm.
dumping with branches, cut up wood, dirt, etc., into the wetlands on the yeah. Atwater parcel. That sure looks like what's happened by the photos. Emily, do you essentially agree with that?
Yeah, and it goes summary? Directly with section 4.3, where all activities in wetlands or watercourses involving filling, excavating, dredging, clear cutting, clearing, or grading, or any other alteration or use of a wetlands or watercourse not specifically permitted shall require a permit. So,
right. So what needs to be made clear to them is that's what happened, and this violation needs to be remedied.
No, we don't. Again, we have a problem because they have to come here and talk to us. We can tell them what the remedies are that we want to see happen.
Correct.
And we can give them authority to do it.
Correct. So we are the party to give them recommendations on what needs to be done, how it gets executed. Is going to have to be negotiated and determined between those two parties.
Maybe. Like I said, one possible resolution is the owner of 10 Atwater says,
I'm not going to do anything.
No, my son's got to, you know, my son will come on over and fix it this weekend.
Right.
What can we do to avoid potentially damaging the wetlands and watercourses? So how do you need this done mm-hmm. in order to be in compliance? And that would be a resolution of that problem.
Right.
And that would be a resolution of the wetlands concern. And that's possible. I have no idea what Mr. Herman?
Herman, yeah.
Mr. Herman is going to, or his wife is going to come in and say. They could also say, we know who did it. This other party did it. We want them responsible for fixing it. Mm-hmm. Well, then they can figure out how to make that happen. Another possibility is we know who's responsible for doing it, but I don't want anybody else on my land. It's already, you know, we can't order somebody else to trespass.
They want a third party contractor to come in and take care of it.
Maybe somebody with an insurance policy.
Right, and these are things we do not know. Yeah. These are things we do not know on how it's going to be handled. I just wanted to understand that we're going to be clear on here's the violation, here's what needs to be remedied, and then the discussion occurs as to how it will be done.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
I see this as different from any from our prior enforcement proceedings, only in the sense that the person who owns the land isn't the one who seems to have created the violation.
Right.
Other than that, this is Cherry Brook. This is any of the other, you know, enforcement actions we've had around town over the past few years. Somebody comes in, should have it explained to them, as Emily explained what was the nature of the violation. That's why I said, tell us what appears to have happened. She gave us the 1040A version of it because we have no challenging, you know, testimony from the other party that none of that is in fact what happened at all. We've got a sense as to what happened. We'd like to hear from the, we have to hear from the
owner,
from the two property owners. Mm-hmm. they have a due process right to be heard.
Right.
And unless we can come up with a pretty compelling reason why we can't wait to the next meeting to give them a fair opportunity to be heard, then I'm not sure we're providing them with a fair opportunity unless we've got a good reason for it. And that's why it was important. The excavator's not still on site. There's no indication of a continuing violation or a new violation occurring. But if we don't have some path forward at the next meeting, then I think we have a different set of options that we have to consider. Mm-hmm. What are we going to do about it? Is this, you know?
I don't know. Good. That's a good question.
Oh, I got some working ideas already.
Lawyer. I think part of what, correct me if I'm wrong, though, but I think also what you're getting at is the remedial steps, what are they? And if it's just like any other applicant, then they would file an application and they would give us a sequence of what they plan to do to remediate the issue. You know, you're going to put silt fence up, they're going to backblade it, they're going to dispose of it somewhere, whatever they're going to.
Right.
So it would be, you know, incumbent on them to come up with the work steps, and then we would approve those work steps. So.
I just want to make sure they're not coming here saying, well, what do I need to do? Or arguing about what needs to be done to remediate. Should, you know, as long as it's clear to them, this is what needs to be done.
That's what the purpose of the notice of violation is supposed to do.
Right, and that's what covers.
Yep, it's supposed to tell them, here is what...
You're in violation, come here and tell us what you're going to do to fix it.
Exactly. It appears as though you're in violation.
But in this case, it's a little different because the actual property owner isn't the one. Well, they created the violation.
And it also appears from this letter...
Could you have just said, if it wasn't so muddied with two owners, because you as agents just said... and they came and said, we want to do this, this, and this is the corrective measures. Could you have just approved that?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No, because
it would
have
to come here anyway.
Yep,
okay.
It would have to come here.
The violation occurred already.
No, because it's in wetlands.
And because
she doesn't have the authority to approve any work in a wetland or water course, only in the upland review area.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yep.
All right.
So, Bill, I'm sorry, you had a...
No, I was just saying, when I was looking at the letter...
Property line. I
think he's got it.
I wasn't sure when I was reading the letter, it appeared that Mr. Chadwick, there was some question as to whether he even did anything wrong. You know, I didn't bring any material onto the site that, you know, it was just, I just moved some brush away. Well, you know, is it clear to Mr. Chadwick that there was a violation?
I'm not sure.
You know, so is that what we're going to be talking about the next meeting?
Well,
definitely going to come up. He wouldn't have wrote that if he wasn't.
That
was his
stand. It was a violation.
A property owner's defense to an alleged wetlands violation, one is, I didn't violate. I didn't do it. There wasn't a violation. This isn't a violation of the Wetlands Act or the town regs. Those are possible answers. He could come in and say...
He's not going to claim one. He's not going to claim one. He might claim two.
Right. He's not going to... I doubt he would come in and say, I have no idea what you're talking about.
We have it in writing.
Right.
I think it would start.
Right. Which is... That's certainly one of the possible defenses. But another is, I didn't... what I did. But I didn't... It's not a violation of the wetlands regs. Okay. Then be prepared to tell us about that. Why isn't this a violation? Because it sure looks like one to us.
I think that's going to be more of what his argument's going to be. But
I have no idea. But that's why we give them the opportunity to be heard.
Yeah, I agree. I just think it's better that the parties be here.
Right.
While we're talking about it. Yep.
Yeah.
And if after a second chance to come, especially after one of the property owners indicated a fairly strong interest in coming quickly, you know, being here for this... if they don't choose to show up again, then we have more of an indication of maybe a lack of vigorous participation in the process. Mm. And then we're going to, which is the same position we get in after we give people a fair opportunity to come, and they say, no, I'm not coming. Okay, now we know your position, which is sticking your tongue out in the process. We're trying to work with you. And... Well, then we move forward with that knowledge. I don't like kicking cans down the road, because sooner or later you come to a big pile of cans, but it is what it is. So I think the proper move at this point is we've given them a first opportunity. Mm-hmm. This was what? They got this notice a week ago?
I mailed it.
We had to have this within 10 days, correct?
Yeah, the regulations say, and it's because you're technically stopping their ability to use their land in a way in which they want, because we think that there's a violation. They shouldn't be indefinitely or long-term stopped.
Right.
Without an opportunity to be heard.
Right.
And it's totally reasonable.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. I mailed it on the 25th, so tomorrow.
Okay.
The only other point that I think matters is in his email from this morning, or this afternoon. The second paragraph says, I had a man here working in our yard, and he had a mini excavator here. We don't have any approved activity on his property either, which is also inundated with wetlands. Let me grab the door.
No, there was some fidgeting over there. I don't know if someone was locked out or if they were just...
I didn't hear anything. What'd you hear?
There's some rattling.
There might be ghosts in there. But anyway, I think
we have medication for auditory hallucinations.
No, there was something going on. It was a mouse.
The first time I ignored it. That time seemed a little more aggressive. But anyways, just disregard that.
So you were saying about him...
That he was doing work on his property, too, and we don't have any approvals for his property, which is also inundated with wetlands and has a brook. So that's scary, too.
Mr. Chadwick lives in town?
I think he means his yard of 61 Maple Avenue, which is why it was parked there. Huh? That's how I take that email, which would be better clarified if he was here.
Yeah.
My understanding is he had the excavator at 61 Maple because he was doing work at 61 Maple, which would be also unapproved.
Right.
Because what are you doing?
Has the work that was approved to be done at 61 Maple been done?
Yeah.
From
a wetlands perspective, yes. We made a modification at the very end for one of the outlet systems. But that's okay. We checked that over. We're going to reinspect that in the summer. But he did receive a CO. So he's in there. Okay. That being said, I don't know what he would be doing now with an excavator on his property.
That property has about 6 feet that isn't in the upland review area, is
exactly
that correct? Okay.
It's a very small corner, and the corner that is not upland review is the northwesternmost corner, which is the side closest to Maple Ave. That corner
by
where his
sign
is. By his sign, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Diametrically opposite of Atwater, where the violation occurs.
It's the closest section to it?
No, it's actually closest.
It was in the right proximity with the machine.
Really?
The area that is legal to have been in.
Right. But the only area really is the town right-of-way. State right-of-way.
You look at the photo where the machine was in?
Yep.
That's about where it is.
There's also a state right-of-way.
Yeah. He's state right-of-way on that side, town right-of-way on the other side. So I don't know what he was doing.
But the interesting question is, why would you have an excavator in such a small piece if you were working only in the allowable area from a wetlands perspective? Quite honestly, you'd use a shovel. And I don't care how deep a hole it is, it's really a small sliver.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I'm over or understating or misstating the how many feet of non-wetland or upland review area you've got on this site. It's really just a couple of feet.
Is this an area that's dug out and has stones now?
That's not the area of concern, but that is on this property, yes. Mm-hmm. That is the non-upland review area.
Okay.
So there's no way of telling what he was actually doing on his property when you went out to check the violation that occurred?
No, I can't see anything, but he's admitting in his email that
there was work going on his property.
And that's why there was a mini excavator there. There's too many questions. Like... I don't know. None of it makes sense.
Would he be moving an engine from a car?
I don't think so. I don't know where he would be doing that.
That's not approved there either.
No.
No, that's not. Why, do you have any photos for me?
No, it's
don't be difficult.
All right.
I don't know where that came from. That was just really random.
Rather than hypothesize on a whole number of situations here, why don't we, our next regular meeting is the 12th, right?
Sure is. Yep. 10 days.
Not unreasonable, given an opportunity, both of an opportunity.
Oh, absolutely.
I agree.
So, I guess the only question is, on a cease and correct, do we have, I suppose we have the ability to change that, don't we?
Absolutely, we've done it before.
Okay, because since we haven't had the pleasure of their company to discuss the reasonable ways in which this could be rectified, maybe what we need to do is say no work on either parcel. Make it a cease and desist of all regulated activities on both sites until we get the people in here, because we don't know what kind of an idea, if you leave them the ability to correct it.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody's great idea for how to correct this is to bring a
bigger machine,
a gigantic bulldozer in there and backblade it, then that might be a bigger problem than having done nothing in the first place.
Right.
You know? So that seems like it might be a reasonable protective measure for the wetland. Make sure they don't do anything unwise in there in the short term, because it's only 10 days. And if it turns out that they've come, that there's a good, you know, we can always go back to a cease and correct. You can, you have no permission to, you know, you cease all regulated activities except those corrective ones that we talk about at the next meeting.
Yeah.
So it's already kind of
But a cease and desist says no work of any kind in there,
no regulated work
of any kind. And since both of these parcels are almost entirely regulated resources, again, it's not to try to extort somebody into coming, but we got to make sure that they're not going to make the situation worse in the efforts to fix it in the corrective measures.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
So I would make a motion at that, you know, along those lines that, hold on a second, before I make a motion, actually, the motion should be that on file 02-20-11486 61 Maple Avenue and 10 Atwater Road under the public hearing, the motion is to continue the public hearing to our next regularly scheduled meeting, which is March 12th, 7 p.m. I'll deal with the next measure on the regular meeting. I think that's the right thing to do, right?
Yeah, yep,
okay.
Correct.
You want a second on that?
I do.
Second.
Mr. Pori, any other discussion? None? All those in favor? 400. Regular meeting, item number one, file 02-20-11486 61 Maple Avenue 10 at, and 10 Atwater Road, Assessor's Map 35, parcels 362-0061 and 1130010 zones, LITNO and R1, show cause hearing for cease and correct of all regulated activities on site, Knowles No Brainers, LLC, and Willard and Ann Herman owners. So, I would make a motion to amend the cease and correct order on these two parcels to a cease and desist of all regulated activities.
Until such time an appearance.
I was going to say just until further order in this, of the agency. Because they may choose not to show up. If they choose not to show up, we'll change it and do something else. We'll make a decision. But we're giving them the opportunity to come and be heard so that their rights are protected and they have this chance.
You're right.
And that's fine. So I think, and this is in the interest of making sure that the cease and correct that was previously issued does not have the opportunity to be inadvertently or advertently misused to create a bigger problem to the regulated resource than what we have by the violation itself.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So there's my motion. Is there a second on that motion?
I'll second that motion.
Mr. Henry slides into second. Is there any other discussion to be had? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
400. I make a motion to adjourn the special meeting at 7:46. That's going to be Mr. Bear, because he's the only one who hasn't registered his presence today. Mr. Bear seconds the motion. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
400. Outstanding.